Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. Amen. What a great song that is, and the words behind that and the theology behind that song is so amazing. It's that once we have an interaction with Jesus, we're never the same. And we shouldn't be the same. And we shouldn't act the same. And there's far too many people who come into this somewhat contact with Jesus, and then they go ahead and live their life the way they always have. And that's not a true interaction with Jesus, because when you have truly, truly, truly been touched by Jesus, your life can't be the same. So we change, right? And we follow and we crave everything that He has for each one of us. And there's a line in there, and it's when He said, "It is done," on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is done," everything changed, right? It changed from the old covenant, the law, and it ushered in the new covenant, and that's redemption and relationship with Jesus Christ. We can never be the same, nor should we be. Not in our personal lives, and not in this church. Who wants to be the average, humdrum, run-of-the-mill church? I don't. I want to be a body that's alive and excited and joyful. And we can be that because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father God, thank You that we can come in here this morning and we can worship at the top of our lungs. And Lord God, You don't hear how good of a singer we are or how bad of a singer we are. You look at our heart, and when we place our heart before You and we truly worship You, Lord, that is a blessing to You. And that's hard for us to comprehend, that we can actually be a blessing to the One who has done so much for us. Lord, I pray against distractions. There's so many distractions in this world, from the enemy to just ourselves, to the weather itself can be such a distraction to each one of us. Lord, help us to stand against that distraction and to take that distraction and place it at Your feet. Because once again, when we have an interaction with You, Lord God, everything is different. So help us to stand against distraction even this morning. Jesus, it's all about You. And in this season of spring, when Good Friday, Holy Week, Resurrection Sunday, even Pentecost comes around, Lord God, we look to You just a little bit more. Maybe we see You just a little bit differently. So Lord God, in this season, help us to come to You fully, 100%. Again, no distraction. Lord, I believe You have so much for each one of us. You have so much for this body. Lord God, there's so much need outside in this community. The harvest is truly ripe. But Lord God, the workers are few. And Lord God, that's not okay. It's not okay with us. So Lord God, position us. Send us. Guide us. Give us the words, give us the boldness to begin to share our faith, to begin to speak our testimony, and to begin to lead people into a relationship with You, into a church body where they can thrive. Jesus, we're confident to pray all of this because we have a confidence in You. We pray this in Your mighty name, Jesus. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys may be seated. All right. Well, let's dismiss the kids right away so we can get through announcements, so we can get on to the message. Amen. Amen. Kids, you go down, learn something, come back up, share it with us adults so we can double learn, and then us adults, we're going to share with the kids today, right? Going to share what we learned. All right. A few quick announcements. We're going to make announcements nice and short and quick today. First of all, we have a wedding shower right after the service for Cello and Rachel. No, we love both of them, and it'll be awesome. So hang around. It'll be fun. Let's celebrate with them. Going to be an awesome day with that. And then we have some other things coming up at the end of the month, don't we? We have a Good Friday service. That's going to be March 29th, starting at 6 p.m. And again, this is probably only going to be an hour-long service. And we're really going to focus in looking at really the sacrificial part of this this process. So we look at the Garden of Gethsemane, we look at the trial, we look at the cross. So that's Friday, and then Sunday, March 31st, Resurrection Sunday. Service time here will be 10 a.m. We are going to have communion at the end of that service, so invite people, right? Wow, that got quiet. Good thing I have the message I have today, since it was so quiet. But Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, 10 a.m. But we're going to have brunch. We're going to have brunch beforehand. I had a young person tell me, "What time do you get up if you're having brunch that early?" Okay, so it's breakfast, brunch, it's all of those. Brunch is so much more catchy, though. So Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to eat at 8:30. So in the bulletin, it says 8 o'clock. If you're bringing food, we don't want you to bring food at 8:30. We want you to bring food before 8:30, like at 8 or 8:15, so that we can actually welcome people in and be ready to go at 8:30, right? So 8:30 is when we'll actually eat, but please be here early. Last week, I passed around a brunch sign-up, so you could sign up, and there is so much good stuff on here. But not everybody was here last week, so we're going to pass it around again. So things like breakfast casserole or biscuits and gravy or quiche or juice or fruit or donuts or whatever. Sign up if you didn't get to sign up. I'm going to throw it to Levi. I'm going to hand it to Levi. And a lot of people signed up last week, but again, I know not everybody was here, so please sign up for that. And again, invite people. We want to just love on people. And we want to love on them with bacon and egg casserole and donuts, and then we want to bring them up here, and we want to love on them, and then we want to worship together, and we want to have a teaching and then communion together. It has the potential to be an amazing day, but we all have to participate within that. Listen to the Holy Spirit, let him lead you, and it can be a great day. Zeke, we're still praying for Zeke, aren't we? Still praying. If you want to give to Zeke, give to the family, you can make donations on your envelope designated. There's a pull-down menu on the online giving, but we want to continue. He's obviously there for the long haul, and things are going good. They took him off the paralytic, so he's more aware, but he still has that infection in his body that has to get dealt with before, as I understand it, they can fully put him on the transplant list. So it's a long road, but we want to support the family. We want to support them in any way that we can. So pray. Most important thing that you can do is pray and then give. That's an important thing to the family as well, because Alvin wants to be there as much as he can, and that's hard when you have a full-time job and just getting there and getting back and everything. But let's be a church that fully supports that. That being said, online giving, giving boxes, all the different ways to give. You can mail it, you can text it. Designate, though. Mel asked me to ask you guys again, just make sure on your envelopes you write your name and your tithe and then your offerings and where you want those offerings to go. And again, just like we worshiped together singing, giving is a part of worship. If you've never given before, if you haven't regularly given before, try it, see what happens. Man, God loves a cheerful giver, and it's really the only time in the Bible where he challenges us and says, hey, try it, do it, let's see what happens. And we do it out of obedience and worship, but then God does something crazy. He blesses us in return, and that can be financially or in a multitude of different ways, but we love to give. That's it for announcements. You guys ready to roll on this message?
Let's go!
Again, it's good. It's going to be good. And not everybody's going to love it. Right? Right? And like John McDougall says, I love easy messages, Pastor. Give me an easy message. No, he never says that. He says, we don't want easy. So let's pray and let's get rolling. Oh, look at that slide. Isn't that a wonderful slide? It's a great slide. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, great to be in your house. We are chomping. We are ready to go, Lord God, with the season that you have us in, Lord God. Help our hearts turn to you, but help them turn to you in such a way where we not only understand the fullness of who you are, the goodness of who you are, but we also start to see the absence that people carry around in this community when it comes to you. And Lord God, that should break our hearts like it breaks yours. All too often, we can ignore it. We can sit in our Sunday morning churches and boy, it's so good to see this person and that person. And man, Jen really sang that song good. And oh, I love that part of it. And we can somewhat segregate ourselves from the dying community that's around us. But Lord God, help us not to become jaded. Help us not to become too secure in our own faith, that we lack a comprehension and a vision of those that are dying and going to hell, those that are trying to live a life that is separate from you and all the chaos and nastiness and turmoil that comes with that. So Lord, place upon our hearts a burden for the lost, the same burden that you absolutely carry. Lord, this morning, allow me to say everything that you would like me to say. Holy Spirit, don't let me say things that are off or gone or apart from you, but Holy Spirit, guide me in my words. And Lord God, help us in our distractions. Help us to not only pay attention, but put into effect what you have for each one of us. And like I always pray, Lord, and I believe, and we're seeing it, don't let anybody leave here the same way that they came in. And we pray that for this morning. And we pray that as we lead up until this Resurrection Sunday. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. And once again, everybody shout it out.
Amen.
Amen. So like I've been saying, we have a big Sunday coming up. But we have an important Sunday coming up. I would call it an important Sunday. And it's important for a few reasons. The first being that we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. That's what this Sunday is all about in a few Sundays. And that's why we're here today, is because we celebrate the sacrifice and the resurrection and really who Jesus is. And if you're a regular church attender, if you would call yourself a I hate to say it this way, but a regular Christian, like a Bible-based, born-again, solidified Christian, Resurrection Sunday is really a powerful affirmation that the new covenant is in full effect and our King has risen and he is on the throne. It's one more affirmation. And it's an affirmation that more people are aware of and open to. See, Resurrection Sunday is not about Easter bunnies. It's not about chocolate. It's not about eggs. It's not about any of those things. It's about our King defeating death, alive, and on the throne. Now, another reason we, as the church body, consider Resurrection Sunday as an important Sunday is because it is generally the highest attended Sunday of the year. Did you know that? We're on the edge of the highest attended Sunday for church in general around the world in the entire year. And that means we have that exciting opportunity to invite. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
However, when studied, the reason for the attendance spike may not be what it seems. Here's what the number crunchers found out in terms of Easter attendance. The Easter attendance increase is due to more inactive and less active church members attending, often making their annual token appearance. Isn't that sad in itself? That you would proclaim to be a follower of Christ, but maybe you only attend once or twice a year just to do your token attendance. I don't understand that. So the attendance growth is therefore a result of most of the church, those that would say they're affiliated with that particular church. The attendance growth is them just coming all at the same time, all at the same day. And if you've been here over the last couple months, you know that some Sundays, man, we're running out of seats, and the next Sunday we've got plenty of seats. It's just nobody always comes at the same time. But Easter in general is the result of just every believer or every professing member of that church showing up on the same day. Easter is typically not a day where a large number of unchurched people show up. That's terrible. Let me just throw this out to you right off the bat before we go any further. We need to be a both and church. We want the inactive and less active people here on Resurrection Sunday. We absolutely do. And we want the unchurched people here on Resurrection Sunday. We absolutely do. Do you guys agree with that statement? We want both. We want both. So how does that look? How might that look? Well, for the most part, the inactive and less active people, they have a standing invitation, and they know they have a standing invitation, and they also have all the information that they need. They know where our building is. They've been here before. They know what time we start. They know what it looks like. They know where their favorite seat is when they attend. So for them, they just need encouragement. So let's all just take a quick look around. Take a quick look. Turn your heads. Notice who is not here today. And maybe the Holy Spirit's going to jog your memory and say, hey, wait, you remember those one people that were here 6 months ago at Christmas or whatever? Let the Holy Spirit jog your memory and then call them, text them, email them, go to their door. If they're avoiding you, go to their door, knock on their door. And encourage them to come on Resurrection Sunday. We got breakfast. We've got Good Friday service. Those are the ones who kind of would call us their church. They know the importance of church. They're just choosing not to come. See, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Call, text, email, knock on the door. Encouragement, not too hard. Today, though, I want to talk more about the unchurched, or what we now know as the de-churched crowd. And here's the deal. It's less about them and it's more about us. Who we talk to, how we approach them, the method of our invitation, those are all factors we need to consider. And unfortunately, those are also the factors that can actually keep us from reaching out and inviting people. It's crazy. So we're going to look at a couple passages of Scripture, and hopefully we'll gain a different perspective this morning into ourselves and really a newfound eagerness to invite those that we work with, those that we live around, those that we go to school with, all of these different people that don't know Jesus, where they turn their back on Jesus. Now, obviously, we know and we understand the Great Commission, right? So let's see. The Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What an exciting passage of Scripture. See, at the time Jesus spoke this, it was the beginning of the church age. So there wasn't a lot of de-churched people, right? It was just a bunch of unsaved people. And there was these though people that, man, they had stayed with Jesus. They had followed Jesus all through thick and thin, and they were raring to go. And now Jesus tells them this, and the fields were truly ripe, right? The harvest was great. It's not like you had a bunch of people that were already in church. I would say we're closer now than we have been to this same scenario. There's a lot of people out there that have no church affiliation. Heck, there's a lot of people out there that go to churches, but the churches don't have a lot of biblical affiliation, right? So not that we want to steal people out of biblical churches. If that church is not a Bible-preaching, born-again, believing church, well, then it's our obligation to also evangelize them, isn't it? So we have an opportunity here. There's people all over the place. I just wonder, like a mile radius of this church, how many households, how many people are actually in church this morning? Just a mile around this church, let alone our entire community. See, the Great Commission is literally our job as believers, and yet it seems to be the thing that we can struggle with the very most within our faith, right? Man, I'm good with Jesus. I understand. I pray. I read the Bible. I don't cuss anymore. I don't drink. I don't smoke. Whatever it is. But then it comes to the Great Commission and actually going out and inviting people into a relationship with Jesus, inviting them into the church, and all of a sudden we can struggle with those very things. So let's look at some scripture and see if it has a personal application to us, to each one of us this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, let's start out with verse 1 and 2. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So he set the stage here, right? It's a beautiful, beautiful setting. It's the morning, right? The sun is up. It's starting to warm the land. And here is Jesus. We have Jesus. And we have a crowd that is gathered around Jesus. And then we also have fishermen. And these fishermen are washing their nets. See, the fact that the fishermen are washing their nets is significant here. This should have been a time for the fishermen to be unloading their catch. They should have been taking the fish that they caught throughout the night to the market. They had to get those fish to where they needed to go. But instead, we find these fishermen, and they're simply washing their nets. No fish to be seen. Even though they were experienced fishermen, and the fact that they had put in effort, they got skunked. No fish. Not even one little fish. And if you are any type of angler, you know that getting skunked can really start to mess with your noggin, right? If you're not careful, the next time that you go out fishing, you can actually expect to get skunked and to catch nothing. And maybe you can relate to this when it comes to inviting people to church. You are an experienced Christian. You put in the effort, and yet no one shows up. We've all been there, right? Maybe we've even waited at that door, waiting for their car to pull in the parking lot. Maybe we're in the sanctuary and we're just waiting. Are they here yet? Are they here yet? And they don't show up. See, here's the thing. Expectation will always follow, or expectation will always affect effort. Let's keep going. Here's verses 3 and 4. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Now we have to understand that really washing anything is not the most exciting thing, right? So washing nets would have been boring. It would have been monotonous. It would have been just the humdrum task that they had to do. So we have the fishermen, we have the crowd, and we have Jesus. And the fishermen, instead of thinking about getting skunked while they're fixing their nets, washing their nets, see, they would have been listening to Jesus. Of course they would have been listening to Jesus. And Jesus' words are alive. literally full of wisdom and insight. Now, in this passage, it doesn't say exactly what Jesus was speaking on. It doesn't say what he was specifically teaching, but it was Jesus. And everything Jesus said was transformational. So Jesus gets done, and he looks at Peter, and he says, "Hey, Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." What do you think Peter was thinking at that moment? We can be honest. It's the same thing we would have been thinking at the moment. Peter was thinking, "Who's the expert fisherman here, Jesus? This is my job. This is my occupation. I am the fisherman." Now, I'll admit, this is Peter's thinking. I'll admit, you know, Jesus is a great teacher. He has a lot to say. Those words are transformational. They're full of life. But I know fishing. And I also know that fishing is a night activity, not a morning or a day activity. We've all been there. And personally, thankfully, when it comes to ministry, I can say that I learned very early on and in a very painful way that though I may have confidence in my own abilities, when God instructs, when God asks you to do something, you just do it. You don't question it. After listening to Jesus teach, that's exactly what Peter did. There was no questioning, no excuses. There was no fear. There was no pride. Jesus says to do it, do it. And let's see how Peter reacted in verse 5. And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." We fished all night and we got skunked. We're tired, we're hungry, we're ready to be done. See, they're just not biting. In fact, they're just not around. But even though with these low expectations, Peter was smart enough to listen and to obey. Have you ever been there? See, most of the time, we give up way too soon. And by the time we actually pray and listen, our expectations have fallen so far, we are left with only fear and excuses. We are so filled with fear and excuses, and they're a gigantic distraction to each one of us. That's a major reason that on average, for Christians today, only 2% of church attenders invite a single unchurched person each year. By those numbers, that means only two people in here will invite one person, one unbelieving person to church in 2024. Please let us not be the average church. Verses 6 and 7. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Again, this is so relatable. Doubting yourself to the point it affects believing what the Lord is speaking to you. It will either cause you to do nothing, or it will cause you to take a step of faith and see God work in an amazing way. Have you ever been there where you're somewhat reluctant to obey, but you do it anyway? And as a result, God shows up massively. It's a great thing. Builds our testimony. It builds our faith. But for me, every time that I have been in this situation, I have to apologize to God for doubting and for dragging my feet. God, why couldn't I have just done it right off the bat? Why'd I have to think about it? Why'd I have to rationalize why I shouldn't do it? Why'd I have to try to come up with excuses? Okay, God, I guess I'll obey. And even in that reluctance, God shows up in a major way. And every time I'm in this situation, Jesus teaches me and he affirms something to me. Let's see what Jesus affirmed to Peter. This is 9 through 11. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Confidence and trust are amazing things. Confidence and trust in Christ are revolutionary things. From fishers of fish to fishers of men. And it came through stepping away from their own ideas and their own perceptions and trusting in Jesus. As crazy or illogical or unbelievable as it might sound, sometimes we just have to step away from ourselves and trust in Jesus. See, if we will actually set out and invite people to church, we need to understand this same principle that's going on here. See, we don't just invite. We pray, we listen, we trust, and we expect. Expectations brings confidence in knowing that even if they don't show up, we were obedient. And in that obedience, God will bless us, and we will know that we were planting seeds. We were scattering seeds. We were putting seeds out there. We can never forget what Jesus said in John 6. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, giving him the desire to come to me." See, it's the Father who brings people to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Though we can speak truth, it is the Holy Spirit who convicts man's sins and confirms the need for Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is important right here. Our job is not to be the Holy Spirit, because we can't be the Holy Spirit. Our job is to simply obey and let down our nets. So if you're one of those people with the type of personality that you tend to want to be or do the Holy Spirit's job, stop it. Just stop it, because you'll fail, and you'll fail miserably, because you're not the Holy Spirit. You don't need to convict people of their sins, because every time you try to convict people of their sins, it doesn't go over good, does it? It comes across as condemnation. But when we trust in the Holy Spirit and we allow him to do the convicting and the drawing, things change. They change rapidly. See, our obedience is about our faith, and it's about our trust. Who called and positioned the fish in this situation? Who called and positioned the fish? It wasn't Peter, and it wasn't Andrew, and it wasn't James, and it wasn't John. And you know why? Because it wasn't their job. Their job was to listen, to trust, to obey, and to let down their nets. Our job is not to call and position the people. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Our job is simply to obey and to let down our nets. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's turn over to John and see another account, and really the completion of their calling. This is so important and encouraging for us as well. It's found in John chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. "Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, 'Children, "Do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No, we got skunked." That's actually out of the Greek translation. Because that's what I say. "Hey, you went fishing. How'd you do?" Actually, I never say I get skunked. Because I don't. Just kidding. There's been times where I got skunked. Most of the time when I fish with Cello. I had to, you knew it. You knew it was coming. You were just waiting. Just kidding. No, there's sometimes that no matter how good of a fisherman you are, these guys were professional fishermen, and now they get skunked again. Now remember, we got to remember time frame. What is going on here? This is after these same men had spent the previous 3 years with Jesus. 3 full years. 36 months with Jesus every day, learning, walking. And when Jesus walked, Jesus taught, right? So it was all the time. Can you imagine, Jesus no less, but could you imagine being with somebody that's an expert in anything and spending basically 24/7 with them for 3 years? You would learn tremendously. Take it by a factor of about a billion, because this is Jesus. So they had spent 3 years with Jesus. And these are the same men that had abandoned Jesus and watched from a distance as he was tried, as he was beaten, and as he was crucified. And they felt like failures. And they didn't know what to do. So they went back to what they thought they knew. They went back to fishing, what they did before Jesus. And then we have Jesus, and he appears to them early in the morning. And the fishermen, no doubt they were cold, they were hungry, and they were discouraged because they just got skunked. And they didn't recognize Jesus or his voice because they were preoccupied with their failure. You ever been there? Man, I'm just really down. I screwed up again. I screwed up. I'm not hearing Jesus. Why do I do this? I'm no good. I'm not hearing the voice of God. I try to read the Bible, but I can't even read the Bible because I screwed up again. See, when we get preoccupied with our failure, it's very hard to recognize the voice of Jesus. And this can apply in so many different areas in our life. But let's keep it in focus of really inviting people to church. And it's a relatable cycle that we go through. Because I know I need to invite, but there's fear involved. There's fear. What if they tell me no? What if they get mad? What if they make fun of me? What if I forget all the scriptures? What if I get tongue-tied? I know I need to invite. I'm scared to do it. And the problem is if not careful, my focus moves from Jesus to my fear, and I just want to get it over with. But remember, expectation will always affect effort. And if my expectation is tainted with fear, where is my effort going to be? See, I'm actually operating apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember, the one who calls and positions? So in effect, I'm fishing for fish who are either not there or they're not ready. And as misguided as an experience this can be, it leaves this failure kind of taste in my mouth to the point I'm so distracted I can't even recognize the very voice of Jesus, something that I should be so very familiar with. Let's keep going. I told you guys you're going to love this message. Let's keep going. 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. He said to them, "Cast the nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And we know from other areas, we know whenever in the book of John or any of his writings, when it says,
the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's talking about himself, right? He's talking about John. And I love it the way he just words it, because here's the deal. He's not saying that he's the only disciple whom Jesus loved. He's just affirming, Jesus loves me. And each one of us should do the same. And he's the one saying, Peter, it's the Lord. He refocused. It's the Lord. Now, something here is going on that's quite interesting and impactful. It says, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And that, to us, probably doesn't seem like much of a request, does it? But fishing nets would normally have been cast on the left side of the boat so they could be hauled in more easily with the stronger arm, which is typically the right arm. So Jesus is telling them to do something that was both traditionally as well as physically different and even challenging. When the disciples trusted Jesus instead of relying on their own experience and expectations and expertise, they wound up catching 153 fish. They were breaking the nets. We need to be reminded that even in the darkest of times, even in our uncertainty, even in our failure, we need to listen and we need to obey. Amen. Jesus. We need to be willing to let down our nets by way of confidence and trust in Him. Not because of guilt. Evangelism isn't because of guilt. It's not because of obligation. Well, the Bible says so, and the pastor said we're supposed to, so I guess we have to. It's not out of our perceived expertise. Oh, I'm an expert Christian. This should be easy for me. I won't give it a second thought. Holy Spirit, you stay over there and just watch what I can do on my own. Yeah. You ever been there? Yeah, that's called pride. And it goes before the fall. And it really does. Submission to Christ and obeying Him makes all the difference. If you've had issues with inviting people to church, submission and obedience makes all the difference. Who positions the fish? Who calls the fish? Don't worry about that. Let down your nets. When Jesus says, let down your nets. See, we don't save people. Jesus does. Amen. We don't call people. The Holy Spirit does. What we do is we obey and we act. And part of that is inviting. So we relax a little bit. Take a big breath. We pray. We seek God. We ask the Holy Spirit, direct me where I need to go. I'm ready to let down my net. See, that's an important thing, right? God has to speak, right? God's going to direct us. So is God speaking? Let's face it. Let's be real this morning. God's always speaking. God is always speaking, but sometimes we're not listening, and sometimes we don't want to hear. I think most of the time we understand that part of being a Christian is living a life as a testament to Christ, and we acknowledge we should be sharing our testimony and inviting people to Christ, and we may even feel compelled to do it, but then we do something strange, not unlike these fishermen. We take sharing and we take inviting, we take that all upon ourselves. It's like we forget and we leave Jesus out of it. Going on in our own logic, in our own strength, in our own initiative. And we do it all the time. There should never be a disconnect between how we live our life for Christ, how we talk about Christ, how we invite people to church, and the Holy Spirit. There should never be a disconnect with the Holy Spirit. So is fear keeping you from inviting? Trust Jesus. If you feel unworthy or ill-equipped to invite, listen to the Holy Spirit. Here's the big takeaway from today. If you have nothing, if you've just like, man, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of that. Or you're thinking about something else. You're thinking, man, we're going to have to shovel snow and mow the yard this month. There's all sorts of things we could be thinking about. If you're sitting there going, man, he's talking a lot about fishing. I think I want to go fishing and all this. Here's what you need to remember this morning. Here's the big takeaway. Look at this. How we listen determines where we fish. Where we fish determines what we catch. That's it. How are you listening? Are you open to listening? Do you have a desire to hear? See, it's how we listen is going to determine where we fish. That takes a whole lot of pressure off of us. Now we don't have to be like, well, I think I have to go down there. And I better get a crate. And I better step on that crate. And I better shout it as loud as I can. Well, is that what God told you to do? Or is that what you think you should do? See, when we say, Jesus, I'm yielding to you. Tell me where I need to go. It's how we listen determines where we fish. And then obviously where we fish determines on what we catch. See, some fish aren't ready to be caught yet. Some fish aren't even around in that place. It's where, it's location, it's timing. Who's the master of the where, the location, and the timing? It's the Holy Spirit. Because now we're fishing here, and instead of trying to find the fish, the Holy Spirit is calling the fish. Just like in both of those examples, there were no fish. There were no fish, and they were fishing at a time of day where they had given up. But Jesus says, hey, cast your net out. Hey, throw it on the other side. And in both cases, there's so many fish, they begin to sink the boats and break the nets. We pray, we ask, we listen. See, when we are in this situation, and I've told this to different people, and I believe it to be absolutely true, there are certain prayers that we pray, and I think God's like, whoa, hold up. I appreciate that you're praying, but Ferrari's just not in your future. Right, or anything like that, or sometimes we get dumb and we oh God, curse my ex-wife, make the brakes go out on her. God's like, whoa, you're obviously those prayers. And then there's sincere prayers like, Lord, I really wish I had this job or I met this person and I had a relationship with them, and that's actually not God's will for your life, right? So God's like, I appreciate you praying, but the answer to that prayer is probably not going to come, and it's not going to come how you think, and it's not going to come very soon, because there's a lot of things that you need to learn before I answer a prayer like that. But then there's other prayers. There's other prayers where we barely get them out of our mouth, and God is beginning to answer those. See, there's certain prayers that the Holy Spirit, He's not going to withhold them. So if our heart is right and we're truly confident and trusting and we truly have a heart for those that are apart from Jesus and we say, Jesus, give me an opportunity. You're going to have an opportunity. And it's going to be right off the bat. When we pray we pray for other people unselfishly with compassion, God's going to answer those prayers. Again, maybe not the exact way we want them to, but He's going to answer those prayers. So when we're in a situation, Monday morning, and we're all excited because what we just talked about today, and we wake up and we're praying and we're like, okay, God, I'm stepping out in faith. I've never done this before. This is totally weird. But Lord God, give me an opportunity to share that I can speak my testimony, that I can be a light shining into somebody's darkness. Lord God, I don't know how that would look. So give me the words, give me the opportunity, give me the eyesight and the intellect to actually recognize that as I'm listening to you. Help me to have the boldness to act upon that. Jesus is going to say, I've been waiting. I have been waiting. And he's going to present an opportunity. You're going to be standing in a place where there's no fish. And on your own, if you cast nets, you're just going to get rejection. But when we fully yield to Jesus, we pray that and we trust him. And when he says, let down your nets, doesn't matter who it is. Maybe he tells you to say the weirdest things. The Holy Spirit will cause you to say weird things, seemingly things that are unrelated or irrelevant. But it all goes right back to Jesus if we simply obey. So what I want to convey to you today is don't set yourself up for failure. And don't let past experiences make you feel like a failure. Because remember, when we're feeling like a failure, it's hard to recognize Jesus' voice. So if you've been 100% successful in inviting people to church, good for you. If you have been 0% successful at inviting people to church, I feel for you. And if you're anywhere in between that, let's this morning just say, hey, let's turn the page on that. And let's go out there with a newfound excitement, but also a practical approach. And that practical approach is to pray, it's to listen, and it's to act. Where is your expectation? And that's going to determine your effort. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will not withhold. And when he directs you, trust in Jesus and confidently let down those nets. Two people who invite one believer to church in 2024 cannot be our average here at Bridge. And I know that it's not. But instead of 2%, what if it was simply 10%? Wow. What if it was 40%? What if it was just half of us in here invited one unbeliever to church in 2024? That'd be astronomical. What if 25% invited 10 people to church in 2024? Crazy numbers. Now we're talking craziness. And it's what we have to get back to. It's the original Great Commission. It's what Jesus was talking about. So now we have to get back to that because we've gotten so lazy. And we just expect people to come to us. And maybe in the past that might have worked. But there's a hatred and a misunderstanding toward church and Christians and Jesus himself. So we go out there and we cast down our nets where we need to. Because the people that are down there are the ones that are going to be a little more open. They're the ones that are hungry. They're the ones that are waiting. They're going to be the ones that are fighting to get into the net. So let's just all take a big breath and say, wow, Jesus, so it's not all about me, my abilities, my intellect. No, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Get over yourselves. Right? Just get over yourselves and do what the Holy Spirit is asking. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, let's make Bridge the easiest church to walk into. Can we do that? I think we can, and you know what? It's up to us. It's up to me. It's up to you. It's up to us listening. It's up to us having a dependence upon God. It's about us pursuing the Holy Spirit. It's about us standing against distraction, because I'll guarantee you, as soon as we get done and we're dismissed, distraction after a message like this This is an active message. This is a shake the foundations of hell kind of message, right? Because now we're going off into enemy territory. So as soon as you get done here, as soon as you leave here, distraction is going to try to flood in. And it's going to try to tell you about all these things you need to get done. And oh, it's sunny out. And oh, you should do this. And it's not that big a deal. And you don't have to be one of the 2% or the 10% or the 50%. There's enough. If everybody invited, we wouldn't have enough seats. Yeah, that's a good reason not to invite. Or we could just get more seats.
Yeah.
All that distraction is going to come at you. And we're talking in the next 10, 15 minutes. Stand against that distraction. Stand against it. Because as soon as that distraction comes in, that same distraction is going to remind you of your failures and your faults. And as soon as that starts to happen, you're going to start to not hear the voice of Jesus. And you're right back to the point of having to sit there with everybody else and listen to the words of Jesus. Well, you're just mending your nets because they're empty, because you didn't listen. And I'm speaking to myself. I don't want to come across as being condemning or anything. I'm speaking to all of us. Sometimes it takes several times casting to that same fish. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Holy Spirit's positioning. They still have free will. They can refuse and refuse, but if we trust in the Holy Spirit, going to happen. Sometimes it can take weeks, months, years. Be persistent fishermen. And let's invite people. And if they show up Resurrection Sunday, we rejoice. And if they don't show up Resurrection Sunday, we rejoice in the obedience and the fact that seeds were sown. Amen? Can we just relax? Treat the Great Commission with the seriousness that we should. But also understand, man, it's God who calls. It's God who convicts. It's God who beckons. And it's God who tells me when and where to let down my nets. Stand up. On your way out, we got these simple little cards, black and white. We kept them super simple. It just says death and life, the vital importance of the cross and the resurrection. That's all it says. Nothing weird. At least I don't think it's anything weird. Then it says March 29th, 6 p.m., Sunday, March 31st, brunch, 8:30, service 10, Bridge Assembly, 725 Granite Avenue. Invitation cards, reminder cards. Don't just pass cards out. Have a conversation and say, hey, can I just give that to you so it's just a reminder? Pray, believe, expect, and great things will happen because the Holy Spirit desires... Holy Spirit desires people to come to the Son. The Father gave the Son. Let's do our part, amen? So we're going to pray. We're going to worship. Oh, we're going to worship. Jen's ready to worship. And it's going to be great. And then if we stay and celebrate, Cello and Rachel, awesome. If there's places you have to be, grab some. We'll have more next week. And then guard yourself against the distraction that is going to come against you. Like I said, 10, 15 minutes, 24 hours. Be aware of it. And then tell me how much distraction, how much the enemy wanted to prevent you from thinking about the scriptures today and the action that God wants you to take. Let's pray. Father, your plan is your plan. From our perspective, your plan is crazy because your plan involves us. It involves trusting us. It involves us trusting you and pursuing you. And Lord God, I look at myself and I think, God, your church age is perfect until it gets to the link where I'm involved, and that's such a weak link in the chain. And you simply remind me, and you say, that's because you think you're the link. link is Jesus in you, which causes it to be the strongest link. So Lord, help me, help all of us to step away from ourselves and thinking that we have to take all of this upon ourselves and that we can rely upon you. Confidently trusting you, listening to you, hearing you, pressing things upon us, upon our hearts, people, situations, words. Help us to be fully reliant upon you, like these apostles were. Though they seemingly felt like failures, you came back and said, "Oh, just listen to me and I will knock your socks off." Lord God, we want our socks knocked off. Help us to be a church that desires you so much that no distraction can dissuade us or divert us. Holy Spirit, you're speaking to hearts right now. Holy Spirit, you might be putting people, faces, names on people's hearts right now. And I believe you're calling fish. You're positioning fish right now. Lord, if we need to let out into the deep, if we need to cast on the other side, help us to hear, listen, understand, confidently have trust, and have the boldness to let down our nets. This world is not getting better, it's getting worse. People need you now. They need you now. There's too many drug overdoses, accidents, murders, deaths, suicides. There's too many people going to hell. The world needs you now, and you've positioned us in such a time as this. So, Lord God, help us. Help us. Give us the faith, the confidence, and the trust. And Jesus, we believe. We believe that ultimately, God, your will be done. And Jesus, you will be glorified. We pray this in your name. King Jesus, Savior, Lord, Master of the fishermen. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.